Hi, attainable listeners. Today, I'm talking with Charlotte Von Meister of Charlie Von. Charlotte is a certified KonMari consultant who helps her clients declutter and organize their homes with the intention of sparking joy in her clients' lives. Charlotte has experienced firsthand how the KonMari method can reshape and redefine a person's life, and you'll learn as Charlotte shares with us her non-linear journey that led her to where she is today. I'm excited for you to hear our conversation. Let's go. Hey, Charlotte.
Hey, Amy, how are you?
So good. Welcome to the Attainable Podcast. We're so excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here virtually.
Virtually, right? Yes. Virtually. And we met at a virtual quilt event a few months back. Yeah. And that's where I really learned about what you do and the service you provide. So let's start there at the beginning and just tell us why you started your business, what your journey has been to get here, and what gives you passion around what you're doing today.
I am a certified KonMari consultant. So if anyone is familiar with Marie Kondo, the tidying guru who wrote a book and has a Netflix show, she founded a method of how to declutter your home, which ultimately changes your life. And so not many people realize that you can actually become certified in her method. So that's exactly what I've done. I went through a several month-long certification process, which involves like an in-person two-day deep diving course, then months of like field work, working hands-on with customers, phone interview. There was an online exam. It's quite a process actually to be certified, which I respect Marie Kondo so much for not letting just anyone sort of have that certification and use her name. I help my clients find value in their possessions and declutter their lives, which ultimately clears up so much of your headspace and leads you to feel really lighter and helps you make joy-centered decisions. So not only looking at the possessions in your home, I mean, that is where it starts, but after you're finished putting your home in order, you can really reflect that joy-sparking attitude towards everything else in your life. Are my social personal relationships making me happy? Is my professional work making me happy? Is the food that I'm eating sparking joy within me? Is my sleep schedule sparking joy? Are the products that I'm putting on my body sparking joy? It just really makes you reflect on everything and what you choose to keep around you. At the core of Marie Kondo's method is really about leading a life with intention, and just choosing happiness is really what it is at the core, just choosing to surround yourself with things that make you happy. That is actually how I really got interested in Marie Kondo, because I officially got certified. I started the process September 2019, and then was officially certified in January of 2020. And before that, I was working at a startup company in the fashion industry, and I was so miserable. I'd worked in the fashion industry for several years, and it always just felt kind of icky to me, just forcing people, particularly women, to buy something that, you know, they ultimately didn't really need. And I worked as a sales associate before, and you're working the fitting rooms and they always ask you to like put an additional pair of jeans or another sweater in the fitting room and just try to get her to buy as much as possible. And I worked in the wedding industry and we sold her the dress, which was so exciting, but it's like, okay, let's send her a veil and earrings and like a second look and maybe even a third look. And it was just trying to get her to buy all this stuff that was sort of felt unnecessary to me. And so I was coming to the end of my time working in the fashion industry. I was just a shell of who I am. I was so lost and confused. And I was introduced to Marie Kondo when I was moving across the country. I'm moving from New York to LA, and I had to pack and I had to be very intentional about what I chose to move across the country with me, because shipping is expensive.
Yes, it
and
is.
That's how I first got into Marie Kondo. I was unhappy and moving across the country. And so I had to take a look at everything that I owned, and it started with clothing, and I had the best time. I had so much fun going through my wardrobe. When you're looking at everything as a whole, it's really easy to figure out what you can let go of, because there are those pieces that you rediscover when you're going through through your closet that you forgot about, or, you know, just your favorite item that you wear every day. And when you're looking at everything together, it's so easy to feel that joy. And so I had the best time when I was just like Marie Kondoing myself when I was still working in the fashion industry. And then once I moved across the country for this job, I was still just really unhappy. And I made a huge change and just decided to quit my job without really knowing what I wanted to do after that. But it was the most LA thing. I've been miserable for probably over a year at that point with this job. And I went to a breathwork class in Los Angeles, in Venice. And I had finished the breathwork class in tears, sobbing, so sad, because I'd realized that I was blaming my unhappiness on this job, when actually I was showing up for the job. You know, the job isn't fully part of my life. It doesn't own me. I get to make my own decisions. And I was just in tears because I'd realized that I was actively participating in my own unhappiness. You know, I was blaming this job for making me so unhappy when it was actually me continuing to show up to this job that was so draining, that was making me unhappy. So that sort of shift in mindset and taking responsibility for myself and my life was really huge. Shout out to breathwork. If you're ever stuck on something, I highly recommend it. It's pretty powerful.
Yes. But
yeah, so after that, after the breathwork class, I actually put in my notice a week after that class. Shortly after, it was even before my 6 weeks notice was up with my job, I had met a friend of my sister's, and she had worked at Marie Kondo, her media company, KMI Inc. And she was saying that you could get certified in the method. And it just seemed so aligned because I love organizing. When I looked back at my experience, I really loved efficiency, making things as efficient as possible, as streamlined as possible. And I also, I just love organizing. It's like therapeutic for me. And then I had also been working as a bridal stylist. So I was working with women one-on-one, helping them through this really stressful time in their lives. And I loved making women feel good about themselves, calming them down, just helping them out in this stressful time. I really loved that. So when I realized that being a KonMari consultant was a thing, it just felt so, so perfect for me. And another crazy thing was the certification courses are held all over the world. They've held them in Japan, in New York City, in London. And when I decided that I want to get certified, the next certification course was happening in 2 months in Los Angeles. It was perfect timing. It was exactly what I wanted to do. Because when I look back at my journey, it's very trial and error. And I was so cocky coming out of college. I thought I knew exactly what I wanted to do, exactly where I was going. And I just got slapped in the face, which I'm really happy that I did. And I realized that at each job, you don't have to know where you want to be in 5 years or 10 years. At each job, just take note at what you enjoy doing and what you're good at, and then just go from there. So when I look back at my experience, I would have never come to where I am now as a KonMari consultant if I had not worked as a bridal stylist with women, if I had not worked in operations, if I had not worked in lingerie, if, you know, I would not be here if I hadn't had those experiences. Even in the moment, as miserable as some jobs can be, it is moving you forward. But you just have to be sort of brave enough to make a change and not just like feel stuck in a rut at a current job.
That is such a beautiful realization that you were actively participating in something that wasn't serving you, working a job that you didn't enjoy, but really realizing that you had a choice. You didn't have to participate in that. And I think human nature, we get in these routines and we feel like we have to make a paycheck. We have to make rent. So we have to stay at this job. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I think that's such a special realization of we have all these pressures in life, but we don't need to buy into them. And we also can make different choices. I don't want to say you hit rock bottom in that moment, but you felt low.
And totally.
Right?
It definitely felt like rock bottom at one point. There was maybe a course of 4 or 5 months where I was crying every single day. I don't know if that's what rock bottom looks like, but I know that's definitely not healthy.
Not healthy.
If you're ever in a job,
that might be rock bottom.
I was talking with my family about going on like an anxiety medication to be able to stay at this job. I was so miserable, and something that the KonMari method has helped me with is choosing joy and following your happiness and not just staying somewhere out of obligation. For me, right out of college, and what I was taught in college was that you had to stay at a job for at least a year because that looks good on your resume. And I guess it does to a certain extent, but if you are so miserable somewhere, you should not just stay because you think it'll make your resume look better. It's just like not a way to live your life for a piece of paper. I don't believe that.
Right. And it's interesting too, because some people you talk to, that piece of paper is everything. And they kill themselves over that title or over that recognition that they're looking for from external places. Mm-hmm. And when they look within, they realize they're killing themselves, right? Yeah. They're drained, they're burnt out, they aren't getting sleep, they aren't fulfilled in life, they don't have purpose. And really, what is this all for?
Yeah, what is it all for? What am I working towards? Something that I've been practicing, if you know anyone listening is not unsure of their job, I would always think of my boss and if I wanted to do what my boss was doing. Sort of look down the path, what's the growth? Look at your boss. Do you like his or her life? Do you like the life that they're leading? Do you want those responsibilities? If not, then you're probably not in the right place, you know? That's how I felt at all my other jobs. I would look at my bosses and I'm like, you're great and you're crushing it, but I don't want to be you and I don't want what you have right now. So that was a huge point for me. Whereas now I'm finally in a place where I look down the road and it's definitely really scary and unclear because I'm sort of forging the path for myself, but I'm finally on a path that feels so aligned. And I look down the road and I look at the possibilities that are there for me. And I'm really, really excited about my job future for the first time since I graduated college.
Hell yeah. So cool. I love that you're really painting this picture of such a more holistic way of living and just thinking about everything in your life. And does it bubble up to sparking joy?
Yeah. Because the method at its core is not organization. It is for you to organize your life. Absolutely. And that is, you know, one of the things that you get out of it is a more organized life. You know exactly what you own and you know exactly where it is. But the first part of the KonMari method is discarding and it's making decisions. And so a huge part of it is honing your decision-making skills. You were saying, has this served its purpose? Am I ready to let it go? Or is this something that I want to bring into my future with me? So you really are taking stock, taking inventory. You are touching every single item that you own. You are choosing everything that remains in your home. And that can affect you in so many ways beyond just physical possessions. And it really makes you think about how you consume as well. A lot of people are shocked because the KonMari method is not organizing by room, but organizing by category. And so you pull everything that you own of that specific category, say bath products, and you're wanting to organize like all of your lotions and chapsticks, you will not just go to your bathroom and grab all of your products in the bathroom. You will go into your bedside table. Maybe you have a chapstick on your coffee table. You probably have hand cream or something in the kitchen, in your purse, maybe in your car. You're grabbing everything that you own from every possible place that you have those items. And you're really able to look at every single chapstick that you own. And it's kind of shocking because if you're just going through your living room, you're like, oh, cool, chapstick. Sure, I need this. But then when you lay every single chapstick out on the table that you own, you're like, wow, I have 20 different chapsticks.
And you maybe only like two of them.
And you only like two of them. And it's pretty excessive. And then you think about where it all came from. Like, where did you get that chapstick? Like, oh, you impulse purchased it in the checkout line at CVS just because your lips were chapped at that moment. Whereas the next time you go to CVS, you'll be like, oh, I actually have 5 chapsticks at home that I intentionally chose to keep, and I don't need another chapstick. It definitely makes you reflect on how you consume, and then makes you change on how, you know, you choose to shop going forward, because you know everything that you own. I think over years, people forget what they have. It's shoved in a drawer or in the back of a closet. Out of sight, out of mind is a big thing that I've experienced with my clients. You know, they don't want to deal with it, so they just put it in a bag and like hide it under their bed or in the back of a closet. But it's still there. It's still yours.
Right.
You have to deal with it eventually. Yeah, exactly.
So let's dive into that a bit. How do you work with clients, and what transformations that you've seen clients go through during this process?
Big takeaway that I've gotten from working with my clients is the state of someone's home is a direct reflection of their mental health or their mental state. If someone's not taking care of themselves, it is very obvious in the state of their home. And it really, that lends to the fact that tidying is a form of self-care. I think a lot of people are don't think it's as important to like fold your clothes properly every day, but taking care of your space, making everything has a home and putting it back with intention, it really is truly a form of self-care, because when your home is in order, you have more headspace to focus on other things, and it can be really therapeutic as well. I mean, I love folding. I just get in the zone and I feel so good, and you wake up the next morning and everything's away, and it feels amazing. And so when I'm working with my clients, discarding is the beginning of the process. But then the other portion of the process is giving everything a home. And so when I work with clients, we discard, we give it all a home. And I try to get them to focus on the feeling that they have at the end of our session, where I'm like, look, everything is away. It's so organized. Doesn't this feel so good? Don't you want to hold on to this feeling? Once everything does have a home, you just have to take that extra step to fold it, put it away after each use. You don't have to think twice. It actually ends up saving you so much time in the long run. You're not running around searching for something that you don't know where it is, or even if it's in your house anymore. It really is investing in yourself. You know, it's investing in your home, but it truly does benefit yourself. Your home is where you begin your day. It's where you end your day. You really should be setting yourself up for success, and that's at your home. And I think a lot of people now come to realize that even more in the pandemic, when we've been forced to stay at home for so long. You want a space that sparks joy. You want a space where you feel like you can be calm and relax and, you know, take a deep exhale at the end of the day. It doesn't feel like another list of things to do when you come home. You're like, oh, I need to find this and I need to do that and I need to clean this. It's like, if you are slowly maintaining and keeping up with your organization on a regular basis, then you never really have to tidy again, honestly.
It's so true. Last night I wanted to cook dinner and it was late, but my house wasn't tidy. So I did that first, and then I got hungry for dinner because I was moving around and working and moving stuff, but my space just was clean and I just felt so much more present and like you said earlier, lighter. And it's so interesting because you do get a sense of lightness when you look at a counter and there's on that counter, there's nothing there for you to do, right? Mm-hmm. There's no bills to pay. There's nothing to put away. Your mind is clear. You just think about either that space or you think about what you were thinking about. You're not diverted by all these other things pulling at our attention.
Absolutely. And I vibe with that so much because I'm the queen of procrastination, especially now working for myself. Even before the pandemic, when I was working at the startup, when I was starting my business as a KonMari consultant, when I lived in LA earlier this year, I was working remotely. And if there's something to do in my home, I'm going to do that instead of like the professional work that I need to do. Like, oh, I can't send this email right now. There's a bunch of dishes in the sink. Or like, I can't send this email right now. I need to fold my laundry or, you know, scrub my bathtub, whatever, Clorox all the surfaces in my apartment, you know, whatever it is. I find some way to procrastinate. So if you really, the basis, and it just sounds so simple, is give everything a home and put it back after each use. That's really just all that it is. And if you practice that on a daily basis, you're never really going to need to tidy. And, you know, if you have given everything a home, but you have a crazy week at work and things just get out of control and you don't have time, as long as you've done the work before and you have intentionally given a home to everything that you own, then you need to carve out like 20, 30 minutes to clean back up, you know, as well as shopping or bringing mail into your house on a daily basis. Don't just drop it on the counter. Don't just drop it on the floor. Every new item that you bring into your home, put it somewhere, give it some place to live. If you just make that a habit, it will really change your life.
I will put up the argument that tidying is not necessarily a form of procrastination. I have done some of my best mind focusing work. Some of the best ideas have come to me, personal and business, have come to me while I'm cleaning or while I'm working on something in my home. You're allowing your mind to focus on something else. So you can, you know, you're always thinking, right? And when you're tidying, you're like, you're maybe even thinking more intensely.
It's almost meditative.
Yes.
Because I feel like whenever I sit down to meditate, I always have really good ideas when I'm meditating, but then, you know, I'm meditating and I can't write them down or anything. I need to keep my eyes closed. But that's so true. It is very therapeutic. It is very meditative. You sort of get into this flow and you can have sort of light bulb moments. Totally experience that as well. Yeah.
Tell us what you're working on now.
So what I'm working on now, it's been birthed from all of my experience that I've had. I studied fashion in college. I got a degree in fashion marketing and management. And then I worked in the fashion industry for several years. And what I was saying before is I really didn't like the toxicity of the fashion industry, how wasteful it is, how you're always pushing people to buy stuff. But I do love fashion. I love it as a tool to express yourself. It's also just so beautiful and fun to wear all the colors and the patterns. Just, I love fashion, but I don't want to work in the fashion industry. Where I'm going now is I am really passionate about sustainable style and educating people that they do not need to sacrifice style to shop sustainably. And so I'm curating a thrifted and upcycled collection of fashion and eventually home goods. So I do upcycling work. I do hand embroidery. So I'll just take sort of a, you know, pair of denim jeans, or just yesterday I pumped out this little bag that I'd found at Savers and embroidered a saying on it and just make something that could totally be looked over as junk or just not special at all and make it truly one of a kind and make you fall in love with it and sort of show people that they don't need to buy everything new. There's so many options out there, and secondhand doesn't mean like gross or dingy. It can be really special. And I think there's something so powerful about shopping secondhand because you're really forced to figure out what your personal style is versus going to a fast fashion shop and they're just telling you what's in style. What are the colors that are in style? Like what? They're basically choosing your sense of style for you based on the options that are given to you on the racks. Whereas when you shop secondhand, if you find something that is your size that fits and you feel good in it and you love it, then it's just aligned and it's meant to be and so much more eccentric and authentic. So that's what I'm working on now, is a curated thrift and upcycled collection, really aiming towards not trying to sell people more things at all. I really want people to know that they should only buy it if they love it. And it's really just focusing on showing people that there are sustainable alternatives. You don't have to buy fast fashion to be in style.
That's so interesting. When you walk into fast fashion stores, it's here's what we're selling. You fit into this, instead of how does fashion serve me? How does it represent my image and who I want to be in the world and be perceived as? Us always wanting to fit into this thing that designers and fashion industry are telling us what the hot new thing of the season is, instead of us having an opinion and saying what looks good on me. I hadn't really thought about that before. Where can people find you and learn more and connect with you?
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm pretty bad with social media. I do have a Facebook page, but honestly, I'm just posting things that I post to Instagram. I'm not really on Facebook all that much. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm Charlie_Vaughn. So at Charlie Vaughn. You can also find me on my website, www.charlievaughn.com. But the best way to stay up to date with me and find all of the proper links is through my Instagram, at Charlie Vaughn.
Awesome. Great. And I'll put that in the show notes as well, so people can find it easily. And I'll ask you our last question. What is one action our listeners can take with them to be more sustainable with their belongings today?
When shopping, only buy it if you love it. Don't buy it out of obligation. Don't buy it because you think it's trendy right now. I mean, don't buy it to impress someone else for sure. Only buy it if you love it. And that's it. It's just shopping with intention.
That's so good. When you look at a sale item, you might really love that sale item, but most times you don't at all. And you're just buying it because it's quote unquote cheaper and you're getting it at a deal.
Totally. I pumped something out. I sent out a newsletter a few weeks ago with the tip of don't buy it because it's on sale, buy it because you love it. And I got so many responses from people being like, oh my gosh, I was shopping online, like the Labor Day sale, and I was just going to buy it because it was on sale, but I actually don't need it and I don't love it. And like, thank you for saying that. I think people just get bored, especially now in the pandemic. They just get so bored and they want sort of like that instant gratification. You buy something and it like feels good and cozy and you're like excited for the present to come in the mail, but you don't just go for that like instant, you know, dopamine hit. Go only buy things if you love it, because later on, if you know you spent all your bank account, you're not going to love that, and that's not going to feel very good.
That feels terrible. That's not good
terrible.
At all. Charlotte, thank you so much for today. This has been awesome chatting with you. Thank you
so much for having me. This was awesome.
So great.
Bye.
Charlotte shows us that the KonMari method affects more than just a person's home appearance. It affects our mental fitness and livelihood too. Charlotte reminds us that it's important to be intentional with our belongings, to make sure we need and will use everything that's in our space, and to only buy new belongings, not just because they're on sale or we think we like them, but only if we love them. Our home is our place where we start and finish our day. Let's all take a moment to tidy the things around us so we can create more space for the things that matter. And if you're in need of a full home makeover, Charlotte's your girl. Let's all start to be more intentional with our belongings. Our minds and our wallets will thank us later. Let's go.